Welcome to the Basketball Show on RPPFM. This is Darramani Walsh, your host from the Bobcats. We're downtown Mornington again this week. Mitch, I think it's time we did a roadie.
I think so.
I think it might be time for a roadie.
I think so.
Time for an OB.
Hey, who's that over in the corner?
As the weather's improving, but yeah, jumping in. My bad.
Do I
introduce myself?
No. Go for it.
Hello, listeners. This is Nathan Jolly, listening to the Basketball Show, 98.7 FM. Catch us on Twitter at RPPFM Basketball. Get engaged. But yeah, listeners, looking forward to another big show.
Lots to talk about. Lots
coming to you from, as you say, downtown Mornington.
Lots of happening on the peninsula this week. So we've got a little bit of local news, obviously, as we always do. We talk a little bit about what's going on in the NBL. Talk a little bit about what's happening in the WNBL, or what's not happening in the WNBL. Of course, big news in the NBA. It's back this week. Lots of games.
My thunder. Yes, the NBA is back, and we're looking forward to jumping into that.
I've got a little bit of bling to talk about, too.
Bling.
Bling.
Bringing out a bit of bling.
Yep.
Nice.
A little bit
like
of
that.
NBA bling. But before we get on, we'll talk about the headlines. So, as we always do, Nate.
Sorry to jump in there, Bobby D, but my headline of the week you've sort of run with in the preamble. The NBA is back. It's great to obviously we're a local focus show and obviously we tap into the national basketball scene. But the number one league on the planet commenced this week, as in the NBA, the National Basketball Association, based in America, for those that aren't across it.
Been living under a rock for the last few years.
You never know. There's a few listeners that sort of follow on after the afternoon show, which those guys are doing a great job in. But, the NBA is back, and, some big upsets. A bit early to get a form trend, but I know Washington would be happy getting a win to start the season off. Detroit with Aaron Baines got the W.
Yep. So, the Bulls beat the Cavs, and see the big man himself, the Andrew Bogut factor, which we obviously had a lot of discussion over the last couple of weeks, ended up getting a broken nose in the pre-games, in the pre-series, and then did you see the photo of him in the last, I think it was yesterday or the day before, where he had the mask on, and the mask, he got smacked in the face again. And he had blood gushing out from under his eye. So somebody had accidentally given him an elbow. And poor old Andrew, our thoughts are out there with you, mate. By all means, give us a call and we'll see what we can do.
Well, you know he does listen to the show now regularly.
Yes, we do.
So shout out to Andrew. He does download our podcast. It shows that basketball is a tough game, Bobby.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I saw a little bit of Patty Mills last night playing with San Antonio. Was he getting around looking very fit.
Yeah, his body looks outstanding. Yeah. Seeing a little bit of media coming out of the San Antonio camp this week, and he looks in ripping nick coming back from the shoulder surgery, which I know he had great confidence in coming back from that, but there would have been a few questions. Had an okay Oceania series, I thought, representing Australia, but he's definitely gone back there and really hit his straps.
Yeah, he was looking very fit, very, very fit, very quick.
In terms of the headlines, we've also... We've got a radio interview tonight with Frankston Blues' own Ricky Baldwin coming up at 6:15 for our listeners. Yep. So Ricky's our Men's assistant for season 2016, and also doing some work in our junior program as our boys coordinator. Has a great history in and sort of track record of success in the junior representative space. So looking forward to
an ex-Knox boy.
To speak to Ricky, actually started at Nutterwadding, and then spent some time at Dandenong recently, but we've been able to get him across to Frankston. He's seen the light, which is great. So it'd be good because we're coming into the pre-season tournament, which Frankston are hosting tomorrow, the junior representative pre-season tournament, which is occurring in between three major associations, Frankston, Werribee and Knox. Frankston are hosting the under-14 and under-12 age groups.
I'll have a little bit of a chat about that later because, obviously, I wouldn't say it's created some controversy. It's certainly a very new concept, though.
It is. So trying to concentrate those practice matches before we start the VJBL season. So it's one of those things when you have a conversation about the problems that, you know, or a shared problem that other associations and representative clubs have with coordinating practice games, before the season starts. There's an additional administrative burden, things like that you're always trying to streamline. So, this year there's a bit of a different format. The pre-season tournament will be essentially four practice matches, no finals. It's really just a low cost, I wouldn't say a low service model, but referees will be obviously in preparation as well. So just
I hope
a good,
so, 'cause my son might be reffing for you.
Yeah, and it just gives everyone a good chance to sort of prepare for what is, as you know, a VJBL season that is a marathon in itself.
Yes. Alrighty, so there are headlines. We get into the Peninsula Files.
All the latest news, gossip and rumours. This is the Peninsula Files.
Alrighty, bit of gossip what's going on around the peninsula, and this one's just a little bit to the left of the peninsula, down at Dandenong. They've gone, and I wouldn't say, well, I'll let listeners make their own minds up, but the announcement was down at the Dandenong Basketball Association, David Graham, the CEO of Dandenong Basketball, and the Elite Stadium Management and Events have decided to part ways and basically not renew his contract. Now, that seems to say to me that things weren't quite working out very well down at Dandenong, and perhaps Mr. Graham has been shown the door.
Well, you've normally got your ear to the ground. What are the jungle drums saying, and what's the mail?
It might have been a long time coming from down at Dandenong. There's been a lot of failure. A lot of unhappy campers.
Okay. Is this coming out of the domestic space, or is it
it's
administratively?
Always starts at the top, as we always say. So, and unfortunately, weeds its way down. But there's a lot of... Well, we'll ask Ricky later. He's a Dandenong boy. We could even do the same to Steve when we catch up with him next time, having been in the Dandenong as well. But my understanding is the CEO doesn't even know half the people that work in the place and doesn't want to know.
And that's in a community organisation that's really powered a lot by volunteers. Mm. It's probably a precarious position to be in, but it is a big job, the CEO of Dandenong Basketball and the event company. I mean, you are talking about probably, in terms of size, probably a top three basketball association in Australia. They have, they have a professional franchise in the WNBL program. So he was trying to feel really big shoes in Graham Allen, who was just been recently appointed to the NBL Commission. Graham did a fantastic job, you know. Mm. He obviously went on to BA and Basketball Australia and was their game development manager. Graham's no longer there, so he actually might be someone that it might be back to the future, coming back to the role. But
yes.
But yeah, not great. But yeah, I guess what's his space in terms of...
Well, who knows? I mean, I could... Yes, we won't comment any further. I was always a big fan of the late Charles Ryan and things that he did for basketball. It's specifically Dandenong, put that right on the map and made it what it was or is today in a lot of ways. And some would argue that it's not quite where it should be. But that was Dandenong. That's their problem. Now, my ear to the ground this week also has told us, and we've talked about this a few times, about Mornington Basketball Association going to a school-based competition. My understanding is they've done a complete backflip and now have gone and said that they'll be doing age base again.
Well, that would be a positive, I think.
I think it might be a rather sensible idea.
Yeah, yeah.
So who knows? But then again, look, Mornington are a bit of a flip. They do things that are a little bit weird at times. But that would be a great thing for basketball, particularly obviously the clubs, but, or shouldn't say just the clubs, but certainly for kids wanting to play on the peninsula. I know at Bobcats we field a number of calls all the time and haven't been able to give anyone any real direction as to what's going on, but certainly if they stay as an age-based competition, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, and I know Frankston transitioned out of a grade base, and for our listeners that may not be, you know, across it, in the junior basketball space, some competitions are administered by primary school grade levels, others, and really the way the Basketball Australia and Basketball Victoria govern the competitions, you know, it is based on age.
Yep.
So the under 10s and under 8s and under 12s, 14s, 16s, etc., into the senior basketball. So that's probably a good decision.
Mm.
Again, you know, without knowing intimately that their sort of business, it's one of those things that they probably thought they were making the right decision in terms of the grade based initiative. And fortunately, in this case, they're a member-based, you know, listening, feedback-based organisation. So they're taking on the feedback and...
hopefully making the right decision.
Make the changes, yeah.
Yes. All right, are you listening to The Basketball Show on RPPFM? This is Darren Marnie Wolf from the Bobcats and Nathan Jolly from Frankston Blues. We're going to have a quick break, come back and talk some hoops with the under-18s and assistant coach Ricky Baldwin, and see what is in store for the Frankston Blues Siebel program this year. We've got Ricky Baldwin online. Ricky, are you there?
Yes, good evening.
Welcome, Ricky, to the Basketball Show. This is Nathan from Frankston Basketball. Great having you on. No doubt you've been a long time listener, so it's great to get you on air and join the illustrious company of those that have been special guests on the Basketball Show.
Well, thank you for the invite.
No worries. Mate, just for our listeners, just give us a bit of a thumbnail sketch of your career to date. You're an accomplished player.
I came up through the Nutterwadding program. I was lucky enough to be coached by the great Barry Barnes, who is now like a mentor to me. Then I switched to Knox Raiders in under 20 and was coached by Mike Slusher. And then for a number of seasons, and then they got rid of Mike and brought in Mark Landell. That was in 1991. So we went from, in 1990, we were the bottom of the ladder. In 91, we turned it around and won the Siebel Championship by a point against the very powerful Ballarat Miners.
Wow. That's impressive.
Yeah. It was, it's been, an interesting journey to be coached by so many great Australian coaches. I've probably been spoiled in that way. The way I coach now with the juniors, I reiterate a lot of their philosophies, which they taught me. Being down at Frankston, a club now that is on the rise, it gives me great pleasure to be down there to be coaching.
That is fantastic, and it's nice that you say Frankston Blues are on the rise. I'd probably share that sentiment, and looking forward to the next 12 months in terms of the VJBL season and the results of our teams. In terms of your playing, obviously coached by a number of leading coaches in the field, and then coming into coaching yourself. The last few seasons you've been at Dandenong, you've coached in the state system, coached obviously VC championship teams as well. How do you rate the Frankston teams coming in and the improvements that need to be made for us to once again become sort of the superpower that that we're hoping to be?
I think yourself and Steve Blackley have done extremely well to get some quality coaches down there this season. And myself, taking on the coordinator's job, there was actually a lot more talent than what I expected, which is great. My under-18-1 are going to be a very good team. I've already set the goals for them. And we're looking forward to a very successful season. I've watched, the under-12, Scotty Christensen. They're going to be, very competitive. The under-18 girls, Mikey Brookins. They're going to be tough. The 16 girls under Cam McCormack are going to be, competitive as well. So overall, it's going to be a great season.
Ricky, it's Darren Marnie-Walsh here, mate. How are you?
Good, thanks. Darren, yourself?
Not too bad. It's been a long time since you and I had a chat. You probably don't quite remember, mate. We actually used to go to primary school together.
Darren Marnie?
Yes.
Across the road from Mum and Dad.
That's it. That was the day when your brother used to chase me around the school, but that's okay.
Apparently Bobby used to pick on you, Ricky. That's what he's been telling us.
Pick on everyone.
Oh, look at him, the bully. And didn't grow from grade 6, so now he's...
So, Ricky, what are the main differences between the program, say, in obviously a Dandenong, as we've just alluded to before? Dave Graham's now been asked to, or look like may have been asked to leave, and now obviously the Frankston Blues program.
Look, Dandenong's been a powerhouse for a number of years. I think Frankston are heading in the right direction. I think they need a little help with the culture change, which we're going to do. And again, that's credit to Nate and Steve by getting the right coaches in place, because the talent's been there.
Yep.
It's just you got to get some, coaches out there that are going to give these kids some, discipline, some love and empathy, and, they'll be on the rise. So, like I said, I was very surprised at the talent down there anyway.
Ricky, you're also involved in our Siebel Blues men's program. I know it's fairly early days in their preparation, but just for our listeners, a bit of a snapshot on what's happening in the Senior Blues program to date.
Yeah, that's, my past coming up through, basketball, I never thought I'd be working with Grant Wallace. Grant actually ended up playing a number of seasons with my brother Robbie in the Victorian Metro team. So, and then, you know, I was working alongside Grant with Basketball Victoria when I was assistant coach with the state teams in 2013 and 2015 with the 18 boys. So now to get the opportunity to work alongside Grant, you know, I'm really looking forward to it. The team itself, I can't really comment on that at the moment, but, you know, we expect good things. They're getting some quality people down there, some quality players, and they've already got some very, you know, talented homegrown talent. So we are expecting big things in 2016.
No, absolutely, and we've got some big announcements next week. We're going to get Grant on the show, hopefully. So, so you've stolen his thunder. You got ahead of the head coach, but mate, we will wrap it up there. Thank you for your time, Ricky. I know you're training your boys tonight. So, yeah,
correct. Yep, no worries.
You're not resting. Good luck on and good luck on the weekend with the preseason tournament.
No worries. All right, thanks, guys.
See you, buddy.
All right, bye bye.
This is the basketball show on RPPFM, brought to you by Frankston Blues and the Bobcats.
Ricky Baldwin, he didn't really talk about his coaching accolades, but highly successful junior representative coach now taking on the role of coordinator, so overseeing our Blues junior Blues program, which is really exciting, bringing in someone of his caliber into the club. And the feedback to date's been fantastic.
With the history in the game would always be, obviously, and as you say, has been played, and you can't take away the fact from those that have actually been there and done that.
No, most definitely, and geez, it'd be nice. Frankston Senior Seabold Blues finished last this year on the ladder. It'd be nice to turn the tables and win it all next year.
He might even be able to suit up and have a game for you, mate. Just kidding. All righty, you're listening to The Basketball Show. We'll have a quick break and we'll be back talking. It looks like a bit of NBL and WNBL. I do believe we have our resident co-host on phone, but certainly our marketing guru man himself, Mr. Mark Scaife. How are you, buddy?
Oh, very well, Darren. Thank you. We're on fire out here. I just bumped in a Hugh Jackman downstairs.
Oh, did you really?
We're at the Park Hyatt Melbourne, and we had our big racing lunch earlier today that was just jam-packed with superstars, celebrities, rock trainers, and Ed Dunlop, the trainer of Red Cadeau, and a horse called Trip to Paris. He even popped in.
Now, Mark, this is Nathan. I'm hearing all these, you know.
How are you, Captain?
I'm good, buddy. But couldn't get an invite for your old mate Bobby Dazzler in... And Nath?
Oh, we sent platinum VIP front row tickets, didn't we, Mitch? Mitch was there.
Oh, yeah. I've got my staff tickets still in my bag here.
So Mitch is going red. I did notice he was wearing the black tie, and unfortunately no love for...
Yeah, that's all right. We've got very long memories down here, don't you worry.
Oh, listen, we will absolutely make it up to you. And I had a bit of a yak chat and a laugh with Darren Dan. He was looking at his hit list and his hot tips that have won versus my tips that have still run. He wanted to send his regards. He's off at the after party now, having a few quiet ales with Kev Sheedy. But we do have some tips for you for the races if you're vaguely interested.
We are, but before we jump into that, did you back the Adelaide 36ers last week? Did you get that 230?
I thought the captain would bring up the ultimate standout outsider tip that he tipped, and they got up. I rang Darren immediately. This is Darren Dan, of course, and said, listen, we found a better punter.
Mate,
well done, Cap.
Thank you, sir, but hit us with the tips. I've got no idea with the horses, so we'll take it.
Anyone who's vaguely interested in the Derby tomorrow... There were some interesting comments. I think the favourite is so hard to beat. It would be a shock to see anything else win the Derby because, you know, this horse Tarzino is on the up. It's proven the extra distance of the Derby will absolutely suit it down to the ground. And nobody today was prepared to tip against it. And there were some pretty smart individuals in that room, including... the other half of Hayes and Dabernick,
We're talking about the legendary David Hayes and his nephew Tom Davenick, who now train together, and they've won almost everything. And even they think this horse Tarzino in the Derby tomorrow is going to be pretty tough to beat.
Darren?
Jiminy crickets.
you're busily writing, but...
Let me point out then that Ed Dunlop, who is the international trainer of a horse called Red Cadeau. Now, most of your...
I told you Red Cadeau the other day, and you laughed at me.
Well, listen, I'm revising that position. I'm revising that position because, you know, Ed made the point, and he was asked the question specifically by Tiffany Cherry, sports reporter, who was our MC. But she asked Ed one specific question, said, look, who do you like out of your two runners? And, of course, Ed got a horse called Trip to Paris. Everyone would remember that horse ran second to Mongolian Khan in the Caulfield Cup.
How is the Khan going? We need to... The Khan
Oh, sorry,
struggle.
You haven't been following the fact that Mongolian Khan is scratched from the Melbourne Cup. He's not running.
You haven't had a hand in that, have you?
So he's taking his glory and going home.
I'm trying to help my wingman friend, Mr. Darren Dance, at Australian Thoroughbred Bloodstock, to try to get his horse Dandino into the field.
Okay.
He still needs a couple of scratchings before that horse actually gets a run in the cup. Heading back to what Ed Dunlop, you know, trainer of Red Cadeau, said, he said that you can't forget that Red Cadeau has beaten every horse pretty much in that field that's any good, and much better horses overseas. And hard to argue, he kind of leans towards Red Cadeau. But all of that said, there's a lot of tips for the Melbourne Cup. Everyone's got an opinion. I think it's a lot easier to tip the winner of the Derby, which is, you know, in our opinion, has to be Tarzino, and then all up into Sacred Eye in the Oaks because she looks a pretty good thing.
Well, seeing as that we're introducing the betting section of the basketball show, a new segment brought to you by Mark Scaife. Have you seen the odds on Sunday? Melbourne United, Sydney Kings. Now tell me, Al Harrington's coming in,
yes,
into town. We're about to talk about that. But the Sydney Kings are $5.35.
They're sitting on
the wow.
In a two-horse race. So for our listeners out there, we got Adelaide last week. I reckon not that you should take financial advice or
betting advice.
Yeah.
Gamble responsibly.
Gamble responsibly, absolutely. But I reckon that if you had a couple of bucks, you might be jumping on that.
Yeah, look, I think when you guys have a good look at a basketball game and can assess a head-to-head match and say, well, hang on a second, it's not quite right that one team in a two-basketball race, is an outrageous price. And you say, well, hang on a second, they're probably a bit closer than that in the game. I think we need to take notice now because the captain smashed it, and whether or not you want to actually have a punt or whether you actually just like looking at it for interest's sake, because not everyone wants to spend their hard-earned on a bet.
I noticed we're at week three and we still haven't saved the women's broadcast rights.
Well, I was looking forward to coming in.
If Tarzino gets up in the Derby, we'll make a contribution.
I was expecting to come into the studio waiting for the Save the WNBL t-shirt, but we are going to get onto that after the next break. But, Mark, thank you for your time. I'm still feeling a little bit shattered over here without getting any ticket love. But
look, I'm so sorry. I mean, we didn't even have a spare seat for Hugh Jackman. That was a shock. Alan Jones arrived late, so you would have missed him. We made space for Kev Sheedy because he's Kev Sheedy. And the other superstars in the room were, you know, hard paying clients. But I'm sure we could do a live crop from the next late mail luncheon, which is on the 3rd of May in Warrnambool, of all places.
Wow!
Have they got basketball down at Warrnambool?
They do. They've got a very strong program. Yeah, the Warrnambool Seahawks.
Yep, it's the heartland of the Western District, Warrnambool.
Well, why don't we take a trip down there? We can invite the boys to the lunch, do a live cross, let everyone know how good basketball is in Warrnambool.
Absolutely. Nathan Sobey, who was playing for the Adelaide 36ers last week, is a Warrnambool boy. So
they produced a few, a few big ones. I think Jonathan Brown The ex-captain of the Brisbane Lions is Warrnambool Boy, and he's a big unit.
Well, I think most basketball seem to enjoy the road trips out to Warrnambool, so...
It is a good town.
Yes. All righty,
great
Mark.
Town, great people. Thanks, guys, and I miss being in the studio. It's one of my favourite Friday afternoon, evening, early evening pastimes to watch the Godfather and the Captain in their boxer shorts in the studio where no one can see your hairy legs.
There you
but
go.
But I appreciate the live cross. It's been one long day. And, of course, Derby Day at Flemington tomorrow is the greatest day of racing in the world, pretty much.
Which is just a couple of things. The Potocki hams did turn up, but seeing as we didn't get a ticket, I'm not too concerned that Darren has eaten half of it. and the other one is, so what time are we meeting you at the front of Flemington wearing our black tie for Derby Day tomorrow?
I've actually never been to Derby Day. Well, if you make it to the front of the birdcage, you'll have to fight a few of the other punters to get my pass off me, but you're welcome to have a go.
Okay.
Just as long as Mitch doesn't get a pass over us.
Mitch gets a Guernsey anywhere he likes. Oh, by the way, very high-powered individuals who watched Mitch's work today were very impressed with that young man. Well done to you, Mitch.
Oh, thank you. Thanks, Mark.
What were you doing? What was your involvement? Moonlighting, are we?
Socialising, networking.
All righty, Mark, pleasure having you on. We'll see you next week, and we'll talk to you soon, buddy.
You will indeed. Have a great night, guys, and no game for my son tomorrow.
No.
But hope everyone has a terrific weekend, and see you next week.
Talk to you then, buddy.
Beautiful. Thanks, mate.
This is the Basketball Show on RPPFM. As we've alluded to, we will come back and we'll have a chat about a little bit of the NBL and WNBL and talk a little bit about bling in the NBA. One of the interesting things and initiatives, Nathan, this weekend is the United and Melbourne Boomers. Putting together a ticket program where if you go to one, you can use the code when you purchase it to then go to the other one, which is a fantastic thing for basketball.
It is, and it really shows that for a Melbourne basketball lover that you're going to get great access to not only the NBL match on the Saturday night, but also
Sunday, Monday,
which is exciting for those that just enjoy their hoops
as they try and break their record of 2015.
And how are their crowds been going? I know you're a keen watcher of the Boomers program, being a sponsor. How's our Maddie Garrett going?
Look, I had a look at her stats last week. Obviously, they went down, and we can have a chat about the women's program and how they're tracking along. But unfortunately, I think she had a game high the other week of 20, which is a career high, I should say. She didn't. Well, now that Kirsty Veal's back into the team, and I might say,
Kirsten,
it is all of a sudden going to take away from Maddie and obviously the other guards. Yeah, that's the season as it is there. So a couple of good games this weekend, though, for the women's program coming up. So as we mentioned and alluded to, the Bendigo Spirit are playing against the Perth Lynx at home. That's on tomorrow night. I assume it's tomorrow the 30th, last time I checked. That's tonight.
Yep, tomorrow's the 31st.
31st.
Yep. Halloween.
Halloween, okay.
We've got a sound effect there, Mitch.
Throw me under the bus there.
Sydney Flames are playing the SQ Stars, and the SQ Stars are obviously the new South Queensland Hammer Shane Heal's team.
And Shane Heal's daughter's playing in that team as well. I didn't realise that.
Well, there's a little bit of speculation around that one too, perhaps for next week's X-Files. Dandenong Rangers are hosting the Townsville Fire on the, would be the Saturday game, 31st. UC Capitals are playing the Boomers at the RIS Arena on the Saturday, and then obviously they come back on the Monday for the Monday night against Townsville, assuming Townsville spent a couple of days floating around Melbourne, given that they're playing on the Saturday and then the Monday. And the Spirit, the Bendigo Spirit, who I think have won two of the last three, is that right, of the WNBLs? Up against Adelaide Lightning, and I by all means would say they're probably looking a little bit shaky.
So we've had a bit of correspondence this week to the Basketball Show's email address. Just following up on the conversation we had last week regarding our listeners wanting to know how they can access the results on the WNBL website.
Well, that would be great. How can we?
Well, I did a bit of research, and I'm not sure how you actually access the results.
You can't.
So what do? You go through the previous live stats, do you?
Well, that's the only way you can do it. Wow. They have put up a review of round three, which actually gives you the scores of Southeast Queensland Stars, 95 against the University of Canberra Capitals, 58. So they copped a bit of a hiding. And then they go through with a bit of player stat and so forth. But to actually just get a box score or just a score, very difficult indeed. And as we alluded to, Dandenong Rangers, 89, beat the Bendigo Spirit, 57, which again, Dandenong, your team, they're looking all right there, Nath.
They were, and I think, again, I know it's in the vault. Mitch's.
We can unlock the vault.
Have we got the vault there? No, but...
Close the vault up.
There you go. But yeah, I called that early on. I thought they are a group that they look well coached, or they are well coached, and they look well organised. And speaking of betting, they were paying $8 for the championship last week, Mark was saying. So a little bit of value, but I think early days yet. I think what would be four games, three rounds in the season. Some teams have played four games, so it's one of those things that...
one of the, I wouldn't say...
Bit early to say.
Interesting stats is your friend over at the Adelaide Lightning.
One, Kelly Bowen.
Kelly Bowen.
Mm-hmm.
Townsville, 104 to Adelaide Lightning, 41.
Yeah, they had a really ugly weekend. So hopefully we didn't bring any sort of the bad luck to Kelly last week, who was our phone guest. But they had a horrendous weekend. And just with that, I mean, looking at it, following that on live stats, seems like a lot of the bench played a lot, you know.
Yeah, because you couldn't get it on live because it's not on TV still.
Unfortunately, no, and they didn't do the live streaming, which is even more frustrating. You reckon these clubs would have organised themselves to at least live stream their games? That'd be fantastic.
And it's the second best league in the world.
It is, but let's not go there. NBL, mate, what are the results?
What are the results? Well, it's been an interesting round. Obviously, we've been in round four. New Zealand upset a Cairns Taipans 90-67. Now,
Cairns are struggling. Cairns have started off the year. They're having issues with their point guard, Starks, mm-hmm. Malik. I think Aaron's not too happy with the way that he's organising. Talk about organising and well coached. I think Aaron Fern can coach. I think at the moment he just doesn't have a point guard who's getting the team... I don't want to go back to that word structures, but get them coordinated offensively, get them coordinated defensively. So I reckon there might be a change there, just throwing it out there for our listeners. Another vault moment for Mitch, who's right on cue. But look at him.
Jeez,
Timmy's on the iPhone. What are you doing? What's more important, playing a game?
He's just checking all those results on Twitter, the feedback we're getting.
Exactly. But I think there's going to be a change there. And I'm going to call it and... He's 6'8", and he may do some damage to me because I know he does listen to the show. Mark Worthington, I think Mark
they did start well, didn't they? Though Cairns, they came out of the blocks.
Yeah,
pretty quick.
To a point, but I think the introduction of Mark Worthington hasn't been great.
Mm. I'm not.
I actually think it's past him. You know,
I've never been a Worthington fan.
Starting.
Townsville 88 against Illawarra 96, and then we of course last night had the big derby between Melbourne and Perth, which was a pretty cracking game. I thought I watched the last quarter of that, 75-73, and I thought the Adelaide guard who was going to the rim was awfully unlucky on the foul.
That was horrible.
That was probably
that was horrible.
The worst calls I've seen all night. Good old Madjock.
Jermaine Beal. And that I was almost going to tweet that. And thanks for raising it, Bobby. I mean, where is the video replay on that? Like, do the right thing.
There wasn't one. They didn't do it too many times.
I paused it, and there was he literally grabbed Madjock grabbed Beal's, and you know that. A win on the road for Perth would have been fantastic because they did drop the one down at home against Townsville on the Friday night. So, they were really stiff. I thought they should have won that. They played really well. They were leading at half time.
Redditch dropped the big three in the last 10, the last 20.
Which is why I think Sydney Kings might be a chance with Al Harrington coming in. I know we're about to talk about Al, but they've made an import introducing Al, an NBA caliber athlete, coming to Melbourne. And I don't think Melbourne sort of played that well the other night. They might be on a downer.
And
so
then they're a man down. Joachim's out. So.
Yep. And Garrick Jackson, their replacement import, made his debut the other night, which is great.
We were saying, as you just said, the Sydney Kings have signed Al Harrington. He's probably the most accredited NBA player our league has ever seen.
He, what university did he go to? He was a Power Five conference player. He started. I think he may have even come from
High school.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. So he
skipped college, went straight to Indiana.
He did, and that may have cost him a little bit in terms of just his fundamentals and further developing his game. But he has been to a number of teams. Had a 10-year career in the NBA.
445 games.
Yeah, and
playing 981, starting 445.
Yeah, I was going to say that he'd been in the league longer than 5 years, and starting in some big teams. He would have played in the Western Conference Finals.
He was in the playoffs with the Wizards last year.
Yep, so that's a great get by Sydney. Unfortunate,
that's a huge get.
Unfortunate for Josh Childress getting injured, breaking his hand.
So Josh Childress had a big year, had a lot of influence in bringing him all over. So what do you reckon the sweetener might have been?
I mean, Sydney's a pretty easy place to live in. Bondi.
So Josh has bought a house over there, though, apparently, hasn't he?
I believe so. I think he's settled.
So he would have said, just come and chat with me for a couple of weeks, mate.
Nothing wrong with that.
Have a holiday and go and play a game or two on the weekend. Big pickup.
And it's a pretty good league. You know, like they're talking about Chris Goulding the other night. He's now an international scorer. So I'd imagine there'd be a lot of imports now seeing the NBL as being a potential league that they can play in the short term for a potential contract, because the NBA season's about to start. So
yep.
I don't think Al's put his NBA aspirations on hold. I think he still wants to get back in the league, but it's where you want to play that's going to give you the best opportunity to stay in shape and stay in form.
Well, I think these guys are starting to make a few lifestyle changes. He's actually just come out of Japan, so...
I was going to say, I mean, yeah. the other option's China, and although the money's a lot more, probably the lifestyle isn't there, but...
He just came out of the China League and is on his way home by the sound of it, and thought he'd drop in at Sydney for a couple of weeks, check out the Opera House and have a game. As you would.
Yeah, check out Bondi Beach.
Good luck to him. As we were talking NBA, and that's probably the last of our NBL for today, other than the fact that we still have, obviously, Sydney-Townsville game played. Then we've got Adelaide and Cairns, Perth and Illawarra, and then, as we mentioned, the big Melbourne-Sydney game on the Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
The ladder as it sits at the moment, Melbourne United sitting on top, very pretty, 6-0. We've got the Perth Wildcats at 5-2, Adelaide Lightning, Illawarra, then New Zealand, Cairns, what we mentioned, surprisingly Townsville second last, and the Sydney Kings sitting on the bottom.
We did pick Townsville. Don't like to pick on teams, but I think the Crocs are going to finish last on the ladder. They are...
going to struggle.
They are talent-wise... you just know that that they are going to struggle when the whips are cracking, unfortunately, in most games. But credit to them getting the win at Perth on Friday night. I thought that was a big win, and sort of the unheralded players. Corey Maynard doing a great job. Bringing a kid from the QBL, Kay, who's a big, developing big. So they're having to do it with, you sort of periphery guys, if you like. Their imports are struggling. Although Brian Conklin, the reigning MVP, he's still trying to hold up his end of the bargain, unfortunately.
He's struggling down there. He looked like the...
Undersized. Yeah. Yep, exactly.
Alrighty. So, that's the NBL for the week. Mr. Nathan Jolly talking now my favourite subject, or is our friend Manny Hendricks' favourite subject, which we won't talk too much about Manny this week, will we?
I'm not sure, but I hear there's a whisper that... all things may not be rosy at Western Port, so...
For the Peninsula Files next week?
I'm hoping we can get Manny on the line. That'd be even...
What time is this over where he is?
In Salt Lake City.
Pretty late or early? One of the two.
Potentially.
Yes. So the NBA returned this week, as we mentioned before. One of the great things about this, of course, was all the NBA players that happened to win a championship ring happened to get their championship ring. One of the things which is really quite astounding is the amount of preparation that goes into making these things. And I must say, it is a phenomenal piece of bling.
They do things really well, the NBA, don't they? They don't miss. And even things like NBA championship rings, how much do I reckon each of those rings are worth?
I've heard $500,000.
Yeah, I was sort of thinking upwards of $250,000. That was
So that was the last I heard. Now, just to give you a few stats on this new ring, which apparently the great Australian Andrew Bogut had sized on his middle finger, which was also created a bit of a storm in a teacup over in the US. The ring itself contains more than 6 carats of diamonds and sapphires. So on the I mean, that's a lot of carrots and diamonds, lots of rabbits. The ornament of the Oracle Arena is also a part of how it was actually done. So the inside of the ring is based on the actual playing arena itself. There's 240 stones in each championship ring. It represents the 240 regular games and postseason wins under the ownership of Joe Lokum and Peter Gruber. Isn't that, the history is just silly. The number of all 15 players of the championship roster are actually engraved into the side of the ring. Would you believe that? The name of each person is also obviously there, and they've also put in, which I thought was really interesting, black light. The ring contains four single stones that were made fluorescent to signify the four championships of the Warriors' history, 215, 1975, 56 and 47. So you can't actually see them unless it's under fluorescent light.
That's amazing.
Why would you go to such lengths to make such a... Oh, it's unbelievable. The ring is 14 karat gold.
I think they're trying to make them so they are unique. These are incredibly one-off items.
They're made with a special batch of yellow gold, which is 67% purity, and that represents the franchise's record of 67 regular season wins. I mean, what if they won 9? Well, say they had 100%. They'd get 100%, would they? That's unbelievable. There's a whole heap of stuff here, and I'd love to keep reading them, but I can see I'm just boring you, Nathan.
Mate, I'm not a big jewellery person, so this is all just straight over my head. You are the bling man, so
you're
wearing the Rolex, you're driving the Porsche. This is more up to your speed. I'm sort of more concerned trying to set up a track for the end of the show for Halloween, mate. So,
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. The other interesting thing regarding the NBA at the moment for all our listeners is the fact that Michael Jordan's home's up for sale.
Old MJ.
And for those that have a spare $15 million lying around and think that they need a new place, it actually comes with your own basketball court. So it has a full-length basketball court, an NBA-sized basketball court, I should say, which is slightly bigger. It also has your own home gym, of course, as you would need, a full gym with the in-ground pool. It has 15 bedrooms, 5 fireplaces. It was originally listed for $29 million. So he's decided to drop the price a little bit.
So are we going to convert it to Aussie dollars just so I can see what I'm hitting the bank manager up with?
The big sweetener for this deal is Jordan selling the mansion, and he's offering to throw in a pair of every edition of signature Air Jordans in the buyer size.
I like that.
So you can have your own shoe collection at the same time.
Yeah, that's just over 20 or just over 21 million Australian.
And it right obviously comes with a heated garage that can fit 15 cars, as you would need 15 cars, because nobody just has one car anymore.
Well, you've got 15 bedrooms. It's one car per room. How's your team in there?
I'm pleased to hear someone's listening.
We do have to finish up. It is Halloween tomorrow night, so shout out to all those trick-or-treaters.
Trick-or-treaters.
Yep. We're going to play a bit of a track. What is the best Halloween track?
So do you want to give your tournament a big wrap, mate?
Absolutely. Get down tomorrow, under-12s and under-14s, commencing at 8:30 a.m. for the pre-season tournament. Great being with you again, Bobby and Mitch. You're going to close it off and we're done.
This has been the Basketball Show for RPPFM, brought to you by the Peninsula Bobcats and Frankston Blues.
Smooth.